James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 67 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Friday, October 10th, 2025. It is a glorious morning here in West Alabama. Absolutely beautiful. A little bit of chill in the air this morning. It won't last, but it's nice right now. It is football weather. Wish Alabama and Missouri were playing here in Tuscaloosa. But instead, the Tide will be flying out of Tuscaloosa this afternoon for Columbia, Missouri, where they will face the number 14 ranked and unbeaten Missouri Tigers tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. at Farad Field there in Como. All right, we are live at Innisfree Irish Pub. Fridays at the Free. We're here every game, every Friday before a game, home or away. The only time we're not here is on the bye weeks, and we are ready to go. And because it's an away game, a lot of people ask me about this. Yes, the Lucky Lunch Meat and Three will be served today. It's only the game day menu on home game weekends. But the Lucky Lunch Meat and Three and the Lucky Lunch Soup and Salad Combo available today beginning at 11 a.m. That's when they open the front door, but you know the drill. If you want to slide by a little bit early and come hang out with me before 11 a.m., just come to the side door. It's unlocked. And you can come hang out and, not much else that you can do because they're not open yet. But, you can visit with me for a little bit, and we usually have several people that do that. As always on Fridays, we got a lot to do, a lot to get to. So I'm going to run everything down for you in just a moment. But first, I do need to tell you this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you, as always, by Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it is just a better way of banking. I should know, I'm a member, and you ought to find out for yourself all the advantages of Alabama Credit Union, a top-rated credit union over a traditional banking institution. You can find out the information at alabamacu.com, or you can stop by and see them at one of their 38 locations around the state of Alabama and one in Northwest Florida. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, here is what we've got on tap for today. First of all, guest-wise, we've got Corey LeBounty from WNSP in Mobile, also the Alabama High School Athletic Association Radio Network, joining us at 9:30 to talk college football and more. At 10:30, Brett Pritchard with the Auburn Report. So those are our guests. And also, today, of course, as I said, Fridays at the Free mean giveaway time, our Bama football trivia giveaway, courtesy of T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. At 10:30, while we're interviewing Brett Pritchard, we will give away a signed Greg Gamble print of Trent Richardson busting his touchdown run against LSU to win that 2011 national championship down in New Orleans. Trent hand-signed this. It's a beautiful print. You can see it. It's ready for framing. It's a large print. You can see it at all my socials at GaryHarris_WVUA on Twitter, GaryHarrisWVUA on Facebook, or my Gary L. Harris personal Facebook page. We're going to give that away at 10:30 with our Bama football trivia contest that we do every Friday, courtesy of T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall, home of the $99 suit sale. And also this morning, just like last week, we had a few people that came by early. If you swing by a little bit early, I've got some tickets, some little coupons, little small, almost like business cards. Enjoy dinner for two on us at Texas Roadhouse. Outstanding opportunity. Up to a $25 value. Limit one offer per visit. But I've got several of these little cards that I will pass along to you if you come by a little bit early. And, man, I tell you what, that is some good food over there at Texas Roadhouse. on McFarland Boulevard in Tuscaloosa. So we are ready to rock and roll this morning. Also, let me say good morning to Chase Brumfeld and Reed Karch back in our Tide 100.9 FM studios at Town Square Media on Skyland Boulevard. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Mr. Harris. How are you?
I'm doing well. This weather this morning, you know me, when I walk outside and I feel a little bit of a breeze and a little bit of chill in the air. It gets me going. It gets my blood flowing. So it is absolutely gorgeous today. And hopefully we'll have similar weather next Friday when we're here, because that'll be ahead of the Tennessee game, which is in Tuscaloosa this year. So it'll be jumping next week, but a little bit slow this morning simply because it's a road game. But it is a big, big, big game. Chase and Reed, I'll tell you something, and I know we got Corey on hold from over in Trustful. We'll get to some phone calls in the next segment. I picked Alabama 35-28, but I was out. And, in fact, I've got I may send you a couple of clips. There's a lot of the national analysts, of course, making their predictions. And I was really surprised. In fact, I'm going to send you a clip that we're going to play from Joel Klatt here in a little bit from Fox Sports. I'm really surprised by how many people are picking Mizzou to win the game. Not that Missouri isn't a good team. I'm not saying that. I mean, they're 5-0. They are at home. But let's be honest. You know, their best win is probably, well, they've got two decent wins over Kansas and over South Carolina. But outside of that, you know, they haven't been tested. I don't know about you guys, but I was just caught off guard by how many of the national analysts are picking Missouri to win this football game.
Yeah, Gary, I was pretty surprised as well. I just think that a lot of people are buying into the whole Ahmad Hardy, that he's the best or one of the best running backs in the nation. And I think it's really going to be tested this Saturday when he goes up against the Alabama's D-line.
Well, he is one of the best running backs in the country. There's no doubt about it. And they're the best rushing team in the country. But you're right. He has not faced a team as good as Alabama yet. I think Alabama's defense has been susceptible to the run. But, boy, they sure shored it up in the second half against Vanderbilt last week. And I'm hoping that carries over to tomorrow. But I think Alabama's going to win the football game. I do. I think they're going to win it. I don't think it's going to be easy. But as I've said on my show, my theme all year long, going back to the summer, has been in this conference, really in college football period, it's all about trying to find a way to win the game you're playing. Just win the game. That's all you're trying to do, man. You're not trying to you'd love to blow people out, but you know, you're not trying to get ahead of yourself. You're not trying to look big picture. You're not trying to worry about the playoff. You're not doing any of that. You're just trying to worry about the opponent that week. And if Alabama takes that approach, and if they've prepared well here this week, I think you're going to win the football game. All right, it's 9:14. We're off and running on the Gary Harris Show this hour, being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, live from Innisfree Irish Pub. Fridays at the Free, 1925 University Boulevard. Swing on by and see me if you want to this morning. And when we come back, we're going to get to some phone calls. Corey and Trustful, we'll get to you. And also, as I said, we've got that Joel Klatt clip from his college football podcast on Fox, where he just basically says, if it was a blind resume comparison, if you didn't know who the two teams were, he said, there's no way you pick Alabama to beat Missouri. I mean, he says there's no way. I mean, he just doesn't give Alabama an advantage in any metric. You'll have to hear this to believe it, I think, but we'll have that for you. We'll be back from Innisfree Irish Pub right after this on the Gary Harris Show.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Friday morning. Severe to extreme drought conditions continue to spread across West Alabama, but the number of wildfires have not. Currently, there are only three in the state, with none of them here in West Alabama. Current forecasts show no rain through next week. However, temperatures will be cooler. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather all throughout the day. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and 3 special.
New floors to go. Flooring so durable, even your in-laws won't ruin it. Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today, because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Yeah, a little Wet Willie. We always get you ready for the weekend with the great weekend-themed music on Friday. It's been a tradition since I've been doing this show over 10 years. Mobile's own Jimmy Hall and Wet Willie Weekend. What a great song. What a terrific song to get you in the weekend state of mind. Also, we're in the state of mind for college football. I'm going to play you that Joe Klatt clip from his podcast, the Joe Klatt Show, College Football on Fox podcast, that where he just gives Alabama basically no chance in the game. Right now, we're going to get some phone calls out on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. Corey's been patiently waiting over Trustful, and then we'll get to Cowboy. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, man.
I'm ready for some college football. You got a lot of good games going on. I'm interested to see what happens. I could see some interesting results happening. I saw where John Mateer is probable to play now. I could see Auburn upsetting Georgia. Even though as an Alabama fan, I don't want that to happen, I could see it happening. I could see Florida getting another big win. There's some possibilities out there. I don't think it'll be a clean sweep as far as in the SEC as teams that are supposed to win.
Yeah, usually the way it is. You mentioned some out. Obviously Alabama's an upset alert based on most of the analysts, the national analysts. I think you're right. I think Georgia has to be prepared. That's a possible upset. I've seen where some people have even said they think Florida has a chance to go into A&M and win. So you always are on upset alert in this league, Corey. That just, again, continues the theme that I have had since back in the summer. In this conference, if you're playing an SEC opponent, you've got to be prepared. Or if you're not ready to go, you can get beat. And even the same goes for LSU. At home, coming off a bye week against the South Carolina team that last year in Columbia should have beaten them. Just absolutely outplayed LSU the entire game and lost. So, now I don't think Tennessee, even though Arkansas has had some success against the Vols lately, I don't think Tennessee is going to lose to Arkansas at home. But, everybody else in this conference, you got to be ready to play. And obviously, Texas, Oklahoma is kind of a toss-up, in my opinion. And then Ole Miss plays outside the league against Washington State, and they're a 31.5-point favorite in that one. And I'll have my SEC point spread predictions coming up later in the show as well. So you're right, Corey. You got to be ready to go. And in this league, week to week, man, it's a different challenge for you. But I do think Georgia is going to wind up finding a way to pull it out against Auburn. I just that's what Kirby's been able to do since he's been in Athens. He's been able to find a way to beat Auburn. But we'll see.
I also heard that Reese Davis and Pete Thamel, they have a podcast for College Game Day. They both picked Missouri as well.
Well, that's the popular pick from the national analyst. And you know what, though? That, to me, that's a good thing for Alabama. I think Alabama has a track record of when people pick against them. that seems to be when they play some of their best football. You know, everybody was on the Alabama bandwagon going into Tallahassee. I don't know that anybody picked Florida State. And I remember I was leery of the game. I said it over and over and over, but I still picked Alabama to win the game. But, you know, they went in there and they got bushwhacked. So this is probably a good thing for Alabama. It seems to, you know, add to their ability to play well when people pick against them, which doesn't happen that often. So I think it's a positive.
The only thing is that running game does scare me, because we have been susceptible to giving up big runs. And I said this over and over, if Alabama can get out to a lead and make Missouri uncomfortable, get out of their comfort zone, I think that'll force them to be off script and force some turnovers. And if we can cash those turnovers into touchdowns, I think we can get a comfortable lead and win comfortably.
Well, the run game scares me, too. It should scare Alabama fans, and I think that's why a lot of people are picking Missouri, is they know how well they run the football, and they know that Alabama, as you said, has been susceptible to giving up big plays, chunk plays in the run game. Even last week in the first quarter, Vanderbilt hit two big ones. Now, after that, Alabama really settled in, but you should be concerned about it. And I'm concerned about the game. I got a 35-28. It's not like I'm picking it to be, you know, a 20-something point game. I think it's a fourth-quarter game. I just think Alabama is going to win the football game. But we will see, Corey, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, I got to get some other callers, my friend. You had some good analysis on Hewitt yesterday, but I think you're right. I think they're going to be, if things fall the way that it looks like they're going to fall, they're going to be on the favorable side of the bracket once we get to the playoffs.
Yeah, if they win against Prattville, Oak Mountain, and Teakett County, they should finish second in the region and host a playoff game and be on a good side of the bracket, which is what I'm hoping for the remainder of these three games.
Yep, absolutely. By the way, last night, Hoover, no problems with Tuscaloosa County High, as, you know, it's a tough situation now for Coach Chris Bell in his first season at County High, trying to take over a program that just hasn't had a lot of success. And Hoover won that one big last night over at the Hoover Met. Hey, thank you so much, Corey. Have a great weekend.
Good talk to you here. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. All right, let's get the Cowboy out there in the Big D, Dallas, Texas. What's up, Cowboy?
Oh, not a whole lot, Gary. How you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, did you have a radio show when Alabama wasn't that good? Ever?
Did I what now?
Did you have a radio show when Alabama went 6-6 in 2006?
I was not. Yeah, I did. Rodney and I did a weekly radio show back in those days called Tider Insider Radio, just like we do Tider Insider TV. And we did it on Sunday nights over at WTBC, 12:30 a.m., which now we broadcast my show on the radio on that as well. But it was a weekly show. But, yeah, we went through. We were doing our radio, our Tider Insider radio show in those days when there were some rough seasons. There were several. But, yeah. So
you couldn't be as cocky back then as you are now, could you?
Am I cocky? I didn't realize I was cocky because I think Alabama's going to win the game.
No. I don't care. I just listen to you, and you have this, you know, attitude that Alabama always proves these people wrong, and they do. And it's funny how these people keep picking against them and wanting to see the demise, but I guess it doesn't happen. It's just funny. And then you can keep preaching your cockiness. It's funny, man. I just kind of sit back and listen to it.
Well, I got proven wrong. You know, I picked Alabama to lose at Georgia. You'll remember that. And they proved me
sometimes
wrong.
Sometimes you do that to, you picked them one time else and they did lose. So, you know, you're batting 100 when you pick them to lose.
But I think it's going to be a tough football game. I mean, I do. I do think Alabama's going to win the game. And, I guess I am surprised that there are so many. I'm not surprised that some people are picking Mizzou, but most of the national analysts, that's what's surprising me, is that it seems to be. And when we play you this Joel Klatt clip, you're gonna say, well, why should Alabama even show up? I mean, if you listen to his analysis, and we will play it, We'll play it for you on the radio here in a little bit. And you'll say, my gosh, according to Joe Klatt, I mean, there's not a one single advantage that Alabama has. I mean, he's got Missouri with across the board. So that does surprise me. If you think Missouri's going to win the game, I mean, I guess I could see a reason for that. But to sit there and say that there is absolutely no metric that you think Alabama has an advantage in, that's pretty surprising to me. It is. It really is.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. I watched, you know, a fair amount of the Missouri-Kansas game. They were down at times and could throw the ball, and they got back in it. And Emmanuel Henderson looked good for Kansas. I think Missouri's better than people are giving them credit, but I wouldn't expect them to win. I don't know if I could go nationally and say that, you know, if I was a certified, reputable analysis without, you know, maybe he broke it down. Maybe he can tell a deal when I listen to it. But, hey, I was going to ask you another thing. Your guy Jalen Hurts doesn't do well. I call him Jalen Mr. Cool Hurts when he has to throw the ball a lot. And the national talk early this morning on ESPN radio is it might be time to look at trading A.J. Brown before this trade deadline coming up, you know. And I've kind of said that after they won the Super Bowl, it might be time to move on from A.J. because him and Hurts are kind of a friction with each other, you know.
Oh, I don't know. They're 4-2. They lost a game last week to the Broncos that they should have won. And then last night, give the Giants credit. I mean, I didn't get to watch much of it. I don't have Prime, number one. Number two, I was working. But give the Giants credit. I mean, they whipped the Eagles. It happens in the NFL. I think that A.J. Brown and Hurts have a unique relationship. I don't – one thing that, for context, you may know this, you may not. They've been friends since high school. I mean, they have been literally in the recruiting process. And Jalen used to go over to Oxford, and A.J. would come over to Tuscaloosa and visit with each other. So I think that's one reason that they're so
public. If you're friends with a guy, why would one of the friends publicly kind of rip you? You get what I'm saying?
I just think that's the kind of relationship that they have. I mean, I think A.J. Brown is a frustrated. He was frustrated that he wasn't getting the ball more. And he got the ball last night. He caught six balls for 80-something yards. I mean, I think Jalen threw for 284 yards in the game. So, I don't know. I mean, the Eagles are – Howie Roseman may be the best GM in the league. He seems to have a way to figure these things out. I wouldn't trade a marquee wide receiver myself, but I'm sure they'll do whatever they think is best for their football organization.
But you still got Devontae and a couple other guys.
You still have Devontae Smith. You still got, you know, the thing is, can you get value for him if you trade him? You can't give him away. Yeah. He's just too good a wide receiver. So, but I mean, you know what? That's where the Eagles are at. They'd won. Jalen hadn't thrown an interception in, what was it, 300 and something. I forget how long it's been. It's been a long time. And they've won, you know, they hadn't lost a game in nearly a year until last week. So you lose a couple games in Philadelphia, you're going to have to take the heat. So they're just going to have to deal with it.
Well, I'm not trying to give them heat. I'm just bringing up some things that are being brought out. And in the NFL, you know, last week the Saints beat the Giants after the Giants had
five turnovers.
Had a good week the week before,
But so the Giants had five turnovers in that game, or they'd have won the game. But that's part of it. No, it's just like it is. It's week to week. It's just like college football now. You look at this. The Bills lost last week. The Eagles lost last week. So we were five games into the season. Five games without an undefeated team in the NFL. So I think the 72 Dolphins are not really safe for this season. I think they may be safe for the rest, as long as pro football is played. Because you keep adding games, it's going to be harder and harder for anybody to run the table. The best chance, of course, was the Patriots. And then they got knocked off by the Giants. I think they were a double-digit favorite in that game in the Super Bowl. So it's hard to win them all. Hey, got to run, Cowboy. Thanks for the phone call, man.
Yeah,
how
do you like you. Oregon, Indiana?
Bye-bye. I like Oregon. I mean, I love Cignetti. I love what Indiana's done, but I think Oregon's going to win the game.
All right, brother. Have a good one, buddy.
All right, man. 9:31, we're going to come back with Corey Labalte, WNSP in Mobile, next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Flag
flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head to the zoo to battle the Missouri Tigers. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for Alabama football. Alabama Football is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. DCH Regional Medical Center. Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Two Dimes. Taco Casa. Mercedes-Benz. Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort. DCH Regional Medical Center. Two Dimes Tuscaloosa. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Fridays at the Free. I'm live at Industry Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard. They open the doors at 11 and start serving that Lucky Lunch meat and three along with their great regular menu, the Lucky Lunch soup and salad special, all the great cocktails that they can fix up, cold beer on tap, and they'll be ready to go. But as I said, if you slide by a little early like people normally do, the side door over here by the stage is open. You can come hang out with me for a little bit. Hey, our next guest is Corey Labonte from the Alabama High School Athletic Association Radio Network. Tremendous broadcaster, great radio background, formerly of WNSP and Mobile. And they're going to talk a little college and high school football with us this morning. Good morning, Corey. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Gary. Always a pleasure to catch up with you, my friend. And beautiful day here in Mobile, Alabama. Fall's definitely in the air for Friday Night Lights.
It really is. It's gorgeous here in Tuscaloosa as well. I'm excited because it's nice, and like me, we cover high school football. I always tell my people that go out, I said, I hope there's at least a Friday night or two before the season's over that you have to wear a jacket or a sweatshirt or something like that instead of shorts and T-shirts. So at least this morning it feels like a pretty good football weather. What game are you on tonight?
So tonight we will have the number 2 ranked team in 5A, the Williamson Lions, who are 6-0, taking on the UMS Wright Bulldogs, who are 4-2, and this is going to be a pivotal matchup in 5A Region 1. It's not as big as looking ahead to next week's matchup between number 1 and number 2, Vigor and Williamson, but this is big time in regards to UMS Wright trying to stake their claim as a contender under first-year head coach Sam Williams.
Yeah, no doubt about that, for sure, absolutely. Speaking of high school football, Xavier Crowell, EJ Crowell, had a run last night for the Jackson Aggies that's making the rounds on social media. You watch this kid a lot, and granted, when you cover high school football in the state of Alabama over the years, you're going to see some tremendous talents that come through this state, great high school football players. As a running back, where does this young man rank for you from,
Without question, Gary, in this state, probably one of the top 3 running backs all time. Because, he's making it look like it's a video game out there versus Orange Beach or versus the number 1 ranked team in 6A, Sarah Lance Spartans, in game 0 last year when they played. Didn't play in that game this year because he had to sit out. But, he's putting up video game-type numbers. When you're up 35 or 40 points at halftime, he sits in the second half. But he's just an electric and dynamic and total package running back that Alabama can lean on day one when he makes that transition to the Crimson Tide in early enrollment in January.
Yeah, man. Boy, I tell you what, I just – love watching the kid play football. The vision, the power, the speed, the ability to break tackles, he is something special. When you look at high school football around the state, I do want to get your opinion on this, and then we're going to get to Alabama and Missouri. With all of the changes that we've seen, obviously, in the college game, it's starting to filter over into the high school game. We're seeing a lot of issues with kids transferring in. There's a lot of talk about eventually just being open enrollment where you can just go to whatever high school that you want to go to. There have been a lot of, you know, allegations made about certain high schools recruiting and not anything happening to them. And then you'll see a smaller school have a young man move in, and they'll be, you know, they'll be sanctioned for it. What's going on, and where are we headed in regards to, you know, the transfer policy, open enrollment, high school NIL? What's down the pike for us, Corey?
You know, and that's the million-dollar question for this state, because you look to our neighbors in Florida, in Georgia, and Mississippi does not have any NIL in place yet. But we have lost some great athletes, whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball, whether it's football, because other states are offering great NIL money to high school athletes. I do not like it. I don't like the fact that a high school athlete can make it as much or more than the superintendent. And again, I think that that pot of honey will be there for the player once they get into college. And when you're 16, 17, and 18 years old and you're getting an unlimited amount of money, I think it makes it tough on society to kind of say, are the inmates running the asylum, so to speak, in air quotes there. And that's the only issue that I have with it. Those that are going to get paid are going to get paid in college. That's why college NIL is in place. But the guardrails that weren't put up in place in college football has been disastrous so far. So imagine how it could be in this state. So again, the state just kind of taking a slow go approach to approving you getting politics and sports involved, legislation involved in our high school athletics. That's never a good thing, or never a good sight, because that's the one place we go to just enjoy the purity. And the purity of high school sports is the last thing we have left here in this great state of Alabama.
Well stated, indeed. All right, let's move on to Alabama and Mizzou. I've got Alabama winning at 35-28. I know it's going to be a tough game. I know Missouri's good. I know they can run the football. They've been able to stop the run. They've been able to pressure the quarterback. I mean, they're a good team. They're at home. I still think Alabama's going to win the game. I have been not caught off guard, but a little surprised at how many of the national analysts are picking Missouri to win the football game. Corey, how do you see this matchup tomorrow up in Como?
I think it's going to be a great close contest. I mean, the last few times that Alabama has gone to Missouri, it's been a whitewash. I mean, you think back a few years ago, I think it was Eddie Lacy who ran crazy in the rain there in Missouri. And I know all those guys have since gone on. But Missouri and the type of atmosphere that the Zoo can create, Alabama has traditionally struggled on the road under Coach DeBoer. And, I mean, that's evident of a year ago. Huge win against Georgia. Can't take anything away from that big-time road win. But you're looking to play a top-10 offense and defense in Missouri that's very well balanced, and Missouri presents problems. And, again, Ty Simpson and his accuracy and the running game, I think, is going to be the biggest difference maker for the Crimson Tide winning this game. Being able to establish the run to set up Ty Simpson to do other things is going to be huge for Alabama coming away with the win. It's going to be a close one, but I do have the Crimson Tide winning. Not as many points on the board as you have, but the Crimson Tide will prevail.
Corey LeBounty with us from the Alabama High School Athletic Association Radio Network and formerly of WNSP, been a good friend for many, many years, terrific sportscaster down there in Mobile. All right, let's get to Auburn and Georgia, because this is another game where there are a lot of people picking Auburn to win this football game, even though they're 0-2 in the league, and Georgia and Kirby Smart have certainly had Auburn and Hugh Freeze's number. I get it. I mean, I think Auburn defensively has been really, really, really strong. Offensively, not so much. And this Georgia team's a good team, Corey. You and I both know that. I don't think Georgia's what they were 3 or 4 years ago, just as we're talking, is anybody. I mean, with the way college football is spread out now, with the portal, with NIL, it's a lot of good teams. I don't know if there's a great team, but is Georgia on upset alert, in your opinion?
I don't think Georgia is necessarily on upset alert, because, I mean, you look at this Deep South's oldest rivalry, and it's about as even as you could ask for in any rivalry. But I will say this, the problems that are presented at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and I know Hugh Freeze and his offense has sputtered, and you know, you probably need to add a little anti-freeze to it at this point in time. But I think that Georgia will have their hands full. I think Auburn will go ahead and win this one, very similar to what you see going on in Florida. You know, Coach Napier and the Gators, just he won't go away. Same thing with Coach Freeze. I think Coach Freeze and the guys will find enough home energy and home juice to come away with a huge win and go ahead and keep him not from being fired. I mean, because if he loses this game, whether it's a blowout or whether it's by one, you've already heard the rumbling. But I think Auburn is going to find a way to win this game at home, and the 85,000-plus will go home with smiles on their faces on the plane.
Wow, Corey LeBounty calling it this morning for the Auburn Tigers over the Georgia Bulldogs tomorrow afternoon at Jordan-Hare. What do you make of this Oklahoma-Texas matchup? Now I'm reading that Mateer is going to try to play. Of course, Hawkins has, you know, played quite a bit of football for Oklahoma, but Mateer, who, you know, this looked like not much of a possibility just earlier this week, is going to try to give it a go for Oklahoma against Texas in the Red River rivalry at the Cotton Bowl. How do you see this matchup?
Miracle Mateer is what I'm going to coin this one. If he's able to come back and be effective, I mean, it was just almost a death blow and a gut blow to the Oklahoma Sooner fans when they found out their starting quarterback was going to be unavailable. But I think that, to me personally, I would rest him one or two more weeks. But, hey, look, athletes and competitors want to go out and play. And what bigger rivalry for those two teams? It doesn't get any bigger for those two schools playing one another. So if you feel like you're able to come back, go ahead and give it a shot. I mean, on the other side of that, you look at the pressure that Manning has been feeling as the starting quarterback at Texas, really underachieving in a lot of people's minds, including us as media members. This will be a game to where if you do have a quarterback duel, it's one that I guarantee the entire country will say, look, this is the rivalry that we used to love to watch and we want to see. But I think that ultimately, Sark's going to find a way to come away with the win, and Texas Longhorns are going to go ahead and get that big W.
Really big weekend. Just a quick thought on Florida at A&M. Florida, as you said, pulled out the big win over Texas at home, but now they go to Aggieland. Have the Gators got something for the Aggies on Saturday?
Coach Napier, he already used his ace card by keeping his job. You're going in front of 102,000 swagging fans there at A&M. I just don't see it getting done. Now, Florida, again, it's going to be another close contest. That's why the Southeast Conference by far is the best conference in the country week in and week out, and there's no off weeks or no off days. But Texas A&M is going to get it done, and it's going to be a close one, but the Gators, their bite is not going to be as sharp this week.
And South Carolina's at LSU. We remember last year in Columbia, South Carolina should have won that game against LSU, man. That was a very disappointing loss for the Gamecocks and might have kept them out of the college football playoff. LSU at home tomorrow night's a 9.5-point favorite, and the Gamecocks have been a, you know, inconsistent team this year, but so has LSU, and Nussmeier has not been the quarterback that we thought that he would be so far this season. Is this when LSU gets healthy tomorrow night in Death Valley against the Gamecocks?
It is. There's something magic in Death Valley as well, and you have a chance to see Lenore Sellers, an elite quarterback who's been banged up a little bit himself. But you mentioned it. The biggest breakthrough game we've been waiting since the first week of college football to see the quarterback have a breakout game for the LSU Tigers. We have not seen that until tomorrow. After tomorrow, we'll say he's back, and we'll see LSU prevail as well.
Great stuff as always, Corey, and kind of fill everybody in on the network and you know, if they want to listen to great high school football in the state of Alabama, how they can do it.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity, Gary. MCPSS Television Network will have the broadcast tonight of the Williamson Lions taking on the UMS Wright Bulldogs. You can pull that up on Facebook on MCPSS TV. You can pull it up on YouTube as well. Just search either Mobile County Public Schools, or you can go ahead and search MCPSS TV to check out the number two ranked Williamson Lions, who have the best defense in the entire state of Alabama, 1 through 11, and they also average 60.3 points per game. So we'll see what gives tonight as they take on UMS Wright and what they are labeling the jungle, the new home of the Williamson Lions, Gary.
Looking forward to it. Great stuff. Thank you, Corey, my friend. Good to have you on.
A pleasure. Thank you, Gary.
All right. It is 9:50 here on the Gary Harris Show, live from Industry Irish Pub, Fridays at the Free. And they open the doors at 11 a.m. for lunch. But we, as we always tell you, if you'll slide by the side door a little bit early, come hang out with me. I might even have a Texas Roadhouse gift card for you. How about that? So we'll look forward to seeing some folks. All right, we're going to take a timeout, come back, and wrap up this first hour of the show. And we're live at Industry Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard. Gary Harris on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
On the Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of the Game, we'll do SEC Parlay Picks presented by Brian Harden Construction. We'll also catch up with Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. We'll talk to Brent Beard as we are now closer to the Alabama-Missouri game. We'll take your analysis right here starting at 2 p.m. on the Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
Jewelers, we have exceptional pieces to mark your special occasion.
Visit Hudson Pool Fine Jewelers, downtown Tuscaloosa, or at hudsonpool.com.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages,
and treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today. The high for this afternoon around 77. Very pleasant tonight, clear with a low of 56. For tomorrow and Sunday, the sky sunny both days. The high tomorrow is 79. Sunday's high at 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 67 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the Gary Harris Show.
Oh,
streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I don't care if Monday's blue, Tuesday's gray, and Wednesday too. Thursday, I don't care about you. It's Friday, I'm in love.
All right, 9:55, winding it down for hour number one. Friday's at the Free, live at Industry Irish Pub. They open at 11 a.m., and because it's an away game, the Lucky Lunch Meat and Three special will be served on game day weekends that are home games, like next week for Tennessee. They have the game day menu, but because they're so crowded, and it's just it's really too much to try to do the Meat and Three. But on the away games, the Lucky Lunch Meat and Three, one of the most popular lunch specials in Tuscaloosa, will be available beginning at 11 a.m. along with their regular menu. And, of course, their Lucky Lunch Soup and Salad special, soup and salads and sandwich combo that you can get as well. That's Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard. All right, hour number two is coming up. We're going to have Brett Pritchard with the Auburn Report, also our Bama football trivia contest presented by T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall, giving away that beautiful signed Greg Gamble print signed by Trent Richardson, of him absolutely taking care of the LSU Tigers in that rematch for the national championship down in New Orleans. at the Superdome following the 2011 season. Of course, LSU had beaten Alabama 9-6 in overtime in the regular season. Alabama got a chance for payback in the BCS National Championship game and took advantage of it with a shutout victory over the LSU Tigers. That print is gorgeous. We're going to give that away. My SEC point spread predictions as well, which is going to be tough. There's some tough games to call this week, I think. Some really, really, really tough games. All right, that's going to wrap it up for hour number one of the program. And don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTVC, Tide109.com, the Tide 109 app. And get another hour of Gary Harris Show from Innisfree Irish Pub coming your way right here. So we'll keep it dialed in. We're also going to get to that Joel Klatt audio. We're going to do that for sure and let you have your opportunity to listen to what he, the Fox National Sports Analyst, had to say about Alabama and Missouri. We'll have that coming up in the second hour as well. Live from Innisfree Irish Pub, Fridays at the Free continues on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC.
And options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
It's time to win some cash on Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC, W265CG Tuscaloosa. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 565. The code is 565. That's 565.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app for your chance to win $1,000. Two special winners will win $10,000. WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, Monsi Bolaños.
Week 6 of the NFL kicked off with the Giants defeating the Eagles, and it all started like this.
Dart in shotgun set. Drops back to throw. Escapes. Now he's going to run with it. Cuts at the 15. He's to the 10. To the 5. Touchdown, Giants. Jackson Dart. 20-yard touchdown run.
You just heard it all on the Giants radio network. Dart also threw for 195 yards and a touchdown to go along with that rushing touchdown as New York defeated Philadelphia 34-17. In baseball, the Dodgers survived 2-1 on an error from Phillies pitcher Orion Kerkering in the 11th inning to advance to the championship series. The Cubs shut out the Brewers 6-0 in the NLDS to force a game 5 on Saturday in Milwaukee, and the winner will face the Dodgers next. Loyola University Chicago has announced that Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt has passed away at the age of 106.
Now, this hour's West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the TuscaloosaThread.com headlines brought to you by Tuscaloosa Mazda. The nationally famous Kentuck Festival of the Arts is expected to be bigger and better and draw upwards of 20,000 this Friday and Saturday at Snow Hinton Park. Severe to extreme drought continues to spread across West Alabama, and ABC 3340 Chief Meteorologist James Spann sees no relief in sight.
Chance of rain, basically nil for today, the weekend, and all of next week.
The good news is temperatures will be cooler. In sports and high school football last night, Hoover blasted Tuscaloosa County 51-7. At Tuscaloosa Mazda, we're expanding to serve you better. Come see our new and pre-owned Mazda lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Scanlon Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, let's do this. Hour number two, the Gary Harris Show, live at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard, downtown Tuscaloosa. Well, it's kind of, I'm almost perfectly placed between downtown and the University Strip. It's a great location, easy to get to, and we're glad to be with you for another hour here on the program. Coming up at 9:30, or 10:30, I should say, when we get my time straight, we got Brett Pritchard from the Auburn Blitz with the Auburn Report. That's also when we will give away our Bama football trivia gift this week from T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery, University Mall. Greg Gamble print of Trent Richardson, signed by Trent. It's beautiful. You can see it on all my social media pages. Also, my SEC point spread predictions coming up in this second hour as well. Right now, as I give out the phone number for the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904, I want to get to that Joel Klatt audio. The Fox national analyst does their play-by-play along with Gus Johnson on their weekly Big Ten game of the week, as well as has a college football podcast. And on that podcast, he discussed the Alabama-Mizzou matchup. And he just said basically, and I'm going to let you hear it for yourself, but I'm going to set it up. He basically said, if I just showed you the resumes of the two teams, blind resumes, you didn't know, you looked at one team's resume, and then you looked at the other team's resume, he said you would take the resume of Missouri without any hesitation if you didn't know the two teams, who they were. He said that's how much more they are, have accomplished this season. That's how much of a better football team they are than Alabama. And they're going to win the game. Here's Joel Klatt from his college football podcast on Fox.
On a blind resume, Missouri should be the favored team if you just strip away the logos on the helmet, okay? Take away the names of the teams and you just go blind resume in this game. You would never favor Alabama. The matchup favors Missouri in almost every category. And I know that Alabama has played well against Georgia. They played well against Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt had their chances to win that game. Georgia had their chances to win that game. And now Bama's coming off of those back-to-back games. How healthy, energized, and fresh are they going on the road facing a team in Missouri that has played UMass and had a bye week? Alabama playing their third top 20 opponent in 3 weeks. Bama's not been great on the road, even though they got that win over Georgia. Okay, so that's another one for Missouri. You look at this. Missouri has the top rusher in the country, Ahmad Hardy. He's been fantastic for them. Bama, not great stopping the run. 104th in the country stopping the run. Plus, Bama's been struggling with some health issues at the linebacker position. Advantage Missouri. Missouri has been very good defensively against the pass. Bama has been somewhat one-dimensional in this one. They're leading, speaking of Missouri, leading the country in completion percentage allowed and quarterback pressure rate. Advantage Missouri. You look up Bo Prabula. He can extend things. He can use his legs. He's an athletic guy, just like Castellanos was in that first week when Florida State beat Alabama. Check mark, Missouri. Alabama is somewhat one-dimensional throwing the football, and they're going to come up against a team, and it might be this week against Missouri, where all of a sudden Ty Simpson is under duress. All of a sudden, that passing game cannot be as efficient and as effective as it has been in other weeks. And then where do you go? Because even though they ran it better against Vanderbilt, it still wasn't great, because I think it was under 4 yards per carry, if I'm not mistaken, from the backs. So I like Missouri in this game.
Well, first of all, he is mistaken on the yards per carry against Vanderbilt. I think it was closer to 6 yards, if he will take a look at it. And Jam Miller had a fantastic game running the football. All right. If you want to comment on Joel Klatt's take, 205-342-9904. He has a right to his opinion. Certainly, he's a very accomplished college football analyst. He played quarterback at the University of Colorado. I don't claim to say that he doesn't know college football, because he does. But he's also in the same business that all of us are in. He's on the national level. I'm on the local level. But he's trying to get people to watch his podcast, to listen to him, to watch him do games. And he's trying to generate some buzz. Maybe he really believes all that. And if he does, more power to him. But if he thinks that there's no metric that Alabama has an advantage in, then I do question what his motive is with that take. Because if you can't at least see a path to victory for Alabama in this game going in, and that doesn't mean they're going to win the game. I mean, he may be proven right, but to say it before the game with that much certainty that there's no path to victory for Alabama, I have to question really how much research he's done on what Alabama has done. He said, well, Georgia and Vanderbilt had their chances to win that game, those games. Of course they did. That's what happens when you have two good football teams playing each other. Very rarely. Every now and then, but very rarely is it a rout. Usually, both teams have chances to win. Alabama made the plays to win those games. Missouri is coming off a bye. They did play Massachusetts before that. But didn't Kansas have chances to win? They had plenty of chances to win in that game. And even though they pulled away from South Carolina had chances to win in their game against Missouri. So I'm not surprised that he picked Mizzou to win the game. I'm surprised if with the certainty that he picked the game. And if you listen to those comments that I just played, he kind of sounds like he feels like it's not even going to be close. That Ty Simpson's going to be hurried and pressured and is not going to play well. They're not going to be able to run the ball. They're going to be one-dimensional. That's going to impact Ty Simpson in the passing game. Well, they didn't run it great against Georgia. They ran it enough, but they didn't run it great. Ty still made plays, a lot of them. So we will see. I mean, as I said earlier in my show, I'm not surprised that there are people picking Missouri. I am a little bit surprised that the number of people on the national scene that are picking Mizzou. I'm a little bit surprised, too, that SEC Nation went to that game after they were just at Missouri just a few weeks ago. I thought for sure they'd be at Oklahoma, Texas, at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. But so this game's getting a lot of hype. If you're Missouri, it is a chance to have a signature win over the Alabama Crimson Tide, and I understand that there are a lot of people around the country that are pulling for that to happen, that want to see Alabama lose this game. That just goes with being the big dog. Like I said, that goes with being the Yankees, with being the Lakers, with being the Cowboys. You got your fans, and then you got the haters. But it has added a lot of intrigue to this matchup, I think. And as I said earlier, and Cowboy called in and commented on it, you can say what you want, but Alabama does usually respond really well when there are questions about them. I worry about Alabama more so when everybody's picking them to roll. I worry about Alabama when, you know, they go into a game like they did at Florida State. And I said all summer long, be leery. I'm concerned about this game. Everybody picked Alabama to win that game and picked them to win it going away. This game, with so much negativity surrounding Alabama, coming off two huge wins, coming off two wins over really good teams in Georgia and Vanderbilt, I thought there would be more momentum for an Alabama victory. But there isn't. All right, like I said, if you got a reaction to his comments, 205-342-9904. All right, let me tell you about the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. And I have not been as often lately as I need to be. I actually was going to try to get in today, but it's probably not going to work out. One option I have tomorrow, since I'm not going to Missouri, is I can go work out after the game tomorrow. So that's something that I'm going to take a look at. But regardless, if you are looking for a gym or looking for a fitness facility, the YMCA is more than a gym. It is a community of people that come together, all with like-minded goals. Terrific facility, great staff. Jeff Knox, the CEO, all of the staff there, friendly, courteous, looking to help. Their personal trainers are outstanding. The fitness wellness area is kept clean and sanitized. They have great classrooms for fitness classes. Terrific instructors. They can help you with your daycare, and they have Silver Sneakers program for seniors. They got it all at the YMCA of Tuscaloosa, 2300 13th Street. Get by and see them or find out more at ymcatuscaloosa.org. All right, we're going to be back with more, and going to have a special guest here in the facility that we're going to visit with on the other side. We'll take more of your phone calls. 205-342-9904 is that number if you want to give us a call. This is the Gary Harris Show, live from Industry Irish Pub. Fridays at the Free continues. They open the doors at 11 a.m. We'll be right back after this.
Chiropractic, the only third-generation chiropractor with over 27 years' experience in Tuscaloosa. Call Tidwell Chiropractic at 752-7503.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after hours.
True South Generators, 205-609-2642.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today. The high for this afternoon around 77. Very pleasant tonight. Clear with the low at 56. For tomorrow and Sunday, the sky sunny both days. The high tomorrow 79. Sunday's high at 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Roll Tide. The best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All of those tourists covered with oil, strumming my six string.
All right, 10:18. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show live from Innisfree Irish Pub. They open the doors at 11 a.m., but we've had a couple people come by a little bit early. As I said, if you come around to the side door where the stage is at, you can get in and hang out with us a little bit until they open for the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three, their regular menu, the soup and salad sandwich, Lucky Lunch salad, soup and salad sandwich combo as well. I'll get it out in a minute. All right, right now, let's jump back out on the Gary Harris Show hotline and go up to Manchester, Tennessee, and talk with our pal Ellis. Hey, good morning, Ellis.
Well, I'm in the town that's home to the NTSU Blue Raiders this morning.
Oh, you're in Murfreesboro.
Yes, sir. And they got their tails whipped the other night.
Yeah.
Ew. You know, it used to bother me when people yacked about Alabama, but I just grown to say that it feels good that we're still in their heads.
Yeah, obviously, you know, yeah.
And we are. We're still in their heads. We'll always be in their heads.
So you just got to subscribe to the they hate us because they ain't us. Is that what you're saying, Ellis? They hate us because they
ain't
us.
Yeah, they hate us because they ain't us. That's right. I seen a Tennessee fan the other day, and I know him, and he just sat there and stared at me. I go, what, are you jealous because you can't wear stuff like this? I said, you can cross over if you want to. And, of course, you know, you can figure out what he did after that. You know, gave me the number one salute.
Yeah, so. That's about their usual response, it seems like, a lot of times.
My score, I was going to tell you my score. My score is going to be 42-28.
Okay. I've got 35-28, so you've got it to 35-28, and then Alabama tacking another one on, huh?
I think Jam Miller is going to flip the script. He's the one that's going to have the good day at running the ball. And Ty Simpson's going to be good. It's going to be like it was against Vanderbilt. And our defense is going to play like that. So that's my opinion, you know. But I think we got it because look who they played, Gary. They ain't played nobody, you know. They played South Carolina, I think.
Yeah, their two top wins are Kansas and South Carolina. Outside of that, it's been, you know, it's been inferior competition.
Both of them games they were losing at one point, correct?
Yeah, sure. Just like, you know, Joel Klatt pointed out about Georgia and Vanderbilt had their chances to beat Alabama. Well, Kansas and South Carolina had their chances to beat Missouri. That's usually the way I'm surprised he said that, because when you have two good teams, that's usually the way it is in just about any game. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Both teams usually have chances to win, and it comes down to a few plays. But we're going to find out. I just, you know, I'm cautious because you go on the road in this league. I've been saying it all year. You have to be ready to play. And I think another thing that a lot of these national analysts, even though Alabama went at Georgia and snapped a 33-game winning streak at Sanford Stadium, there's not a tougher place to play in the league than Georgia recently based on success rate. I think a lot of people feel like Alabama's going to fall back into what they fell back into last year, you know, when they'd have success at home and then they would go on the road, you know, and lose. You know, they beat Georgia, they went to Vanderbilt, lost. You know, they would have success.
Not the same team.
So
it's not.
And I agree with you. And that's what's got me excited about tomorrow. So we're going to find out, Ellis.
Yes, but sir.
You got it 42-28, and you know, we'll be doing our Bama trivia at 10:30. If you want to call back in on that.
Yes, sir. One more thing. I wish you could have heard Drew DeArmond this morning when he was talking about Joe Klatt.
Somebody sent me a text message and said he was lighting him up pretty good. You know, because you know, Drew and I have different styles, so I probably won't go that far. But somebody sent me a text that he said he'd never have him on his show, and that he was Drew will get after you now.
Oh yeah, he was fired up, Gary.
He will. You don't have any. There's no problem trying to figure out where Drew stands on things, man. I mean, he.
Yes, sir. But. I'll be listening. I always listen to your show. I try to call in, but sometimes I'm just busy or I can't. But know that I do listen to your show.
Well, I appreciate that, and I know you're a good listener. Hey, thank you, Ellis.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide.
All right. That's Ellis there in Tennessee, predicting 42-28 Alabama over Mizzou. All right, joining me here at the big stage that they have set up at Innisfree for our show is Robbie Glenn from Striker Strong, the golf tournament was last Friday. In fact, y'all were out playing golf this time last week, Robbie, when I was doing my show here, and it went great at Frank House golf course over there in Bessemer, and tremendous turnout both from players and from volunteers, and just another great Striker Strong golf tournament.
Yeah, it really was, and you know, we were blessed with great weather again. That was the 7th annual, and we've got every one of them in with great weather. It was a fantastic day. It was a long day. You know, I didn't get a chance to call in because every time I turned around, there was something going on. Getting that many golfers out in the morning, getting them, getting the sponsors at all the sponsors we have on the course, getting our girls working, going around some rough tables. Just something was always going on, and but just went off great, and we're blessed, you know, to have so many supporters.
Yeah, you are. And of course, at the end of the day, this is about raising awareness and raising money. And you've been able to do both.
Yep. And the more we do these things and events and talk with you, Striker Strong gets out there, and more people start inquiring. And I've already got teams being sent to me for next year, and I haven't even started working on it yet. I said, I need 2 weeks break. Just give me 2 weeks, and then we'll start working on it. But, yeah, it's everybody's back in next year already, just the sponsors. So, yeah, the idea is to get awareness for TBRS, Tatton-Brown-Raman syndrome, and then also, you know, unfortunately with Stryker's injury, with the anoxic brain injury, try to get awareness for children with brain injuries like that. And the more money we raise to help and the more we talk about it, it gets out there. And his StrikerStrong.org page, a lot of people are on it. They follow him, and they see what's going on and what we do to help anywhere we can. So it's been just a blessing in a bad time for us to happen to our son, but it's also he's fighting. You know, they said he would never open his eyes and he wouldn't make it a month, and for us just to sign and let him go. And here we are 6.5 years later, and he's still with us and fighting hard. So
yeah, still opening his eyes, still smiling, still watching smiling. The shows. Still, I saw he got to meet your little granddaughter, which I guess would be his niece.
Yeah, he's Uncle Stryker at 10 years old. He's an uncle. Yep. Got to meet her finally, little Everly. So I'm blessed to be a grandpa, even though I didn't want to at this. I mean, I'm old, but I didn't want to be a grandpa yet. So, but I'm embracing it because he's gorgeous, and my daughter and her boyfriend are just doing wonderful, and they're learning as they go. So,
well, I know one of the draws for the golf tournament has been the fact, of course, you were an athlete here at Alabama, baseball player, but so many former Alabama athletes come out, and now athletes from other schools are starting to come too. So that's been a lot of fun for, I know, the regular players that come in that see all these great former college athletes that are supporting Stryker Strong. That's a big draw for the tournament.
Yeah, it is. And we're blessed. I mean, the Bama family's always been close, whether you played here back when I was or before me or after me or whatever sport. Everyone gets involved and they come out, and you know, HaHa Clinton Dix and Jake Coker and Antonio Langham and Tyler Watts and Chris Anderson and Kevin Lee, Lamon Russell. I mean, all these great ones that come out. And, Coach Wimps Anderson texted me this morning. He couldn't make it. He had some things going on, personal with family. And, but just for people like that, just always care and reach out that they want to be a part of it in some way, whether just coming out. Jake Coker did his live show with Gillespie, and and that was just a good draw right there. And then they took pictures with everybody, went around the course talking with everybody, and most of them all played. So they all seemed to have a great time doing it.
Final question, because, again, this is about helping Stryker, but also helping other families. You've been doing it now for a number of years, and there's stuff that you do all year long through Stryker Strong and people. Right. But the golf tournament alone, and I know you're still adding up the receipts for this year, but just about how, on average, how much money do you raise through this event?
Well, we like to, we don't charge that much for teams to play because we want everybody to be involved. You know, some of these tournaments I play in, it's like $2,500. We charge like $800 for a team to play. Sponsorships, not that much. So by the time you spend everything, again, I haven't got totals back, but we'll send a check for $30,000 to TBRS.
Oh, wow.
We'll send a check to Children's Hospital, the Teal team that actually takes care of Stryker and other kids with very special needs that are just amazing people. We'll give them a check for 10 to 15. We're going to help area schools up there with their special needs classes in the high schools to help provide equipment, and that'll be another 5 to 7. And then we help Miracle League with some money, anywhere from 3 to 5. So we just cut checks, and then we also get involved in other charity golf tournaments. Like, I'll go out there and help with them, sponsor some things, and also raise, you know, awareness for Stryker, because I get involved everywhere we can just to help where we can. Another big one we do is veterans tournaments. You know, my whole family is military. I wasn't, but that's very close to my heart, so we get involved in a lot of veterans events.
Outstanding, Robbie. Glad we could visit with you for a few minutes here, and Stryker Strong continues to do great work. Go to strikerstrong.org to learn more. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back on the other side, we got a lot to do. We'll interview Brett Pritchard from the Auburn Blitz, get the Auburn Report, also our Bama Football Trivia Contest presented by T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery and University Mall. I'll have the trivia question. It's built around Alabama, Missouri. I went back and forth on this one, but I've got two in mind. I'll decide which one I'm going to give, either based on the 75 game or the 78 game. Alabama lost the 75 game, shockingly, at Legion Field to open the season in Missouri. They won the 78 game in Como. I'm probably going to go with the 78 game. But we'll be back with all that, and going to have a lot of fun with our Bama Football Trivia Contest giveaway next on the Gary Harris Show.
Inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
We'll be right back.
right, 10:33. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show live from Ministry Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard. Fridays at the Free continues. We've had a few people come out and hang out with us. They open the doors at 11 a.m. for lunch, and going to be a great weekend here at Innisfree. All right, a lot to do in this segment as always. We're going to get to Brett Pritchard from the Auburn Blitz here with the Auburn Report in just a moment. But first, Mammoth Football Trivia presented by T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. You know how we do it. I give the question. We use the entire segment to qualify you at 205-342-9904, the Gary Harris Show hotline, 205-342-9904. And we use the entire segment. We also check the app, and I get social media messages. If I get an answer there, I try to get it passed along to Reed and Chase as well. Last week, I think we had 20 qualifiers. We usually average 20 to 25. Here is the question. All right, I'm building it around, obviously building it around the game that Alabama is going to play. And I thought about doing the 1975 game, when Alabama opened the season against underdog Mizzou at Legion Field, and Missouri stunned Alabama in that game 20-7. Tony Galbert, the great running back that went on to a terrific career with the Saints, ran for over 100 yards. The Alabama offensive wishbone attack was shut down by Mizzou. I mean, big time. And Mizzou won that game. But I'm going to go the other way. Since this game's going to be at Farrah Field tomorrow, I'm going to go to the 1978 game. And in that game, Alabama was number one in the country and went to Mizzou and trailed at the half 20-17. Was history going to repeat itself? Mizzou was playing great in that game, but it did not, because in the second half, Alabama blocked a punt for a touchdown, forced some turnovers. Warren Powers was the head coach at Missouri, and Alabama went on to win that game 38-20. Huge win for the Tide after being down at half 20-17. They outscored Mizzou 21-0 in the second half. Now, here is the question. Missouri had a dual-threat quarterback in that game before really the term dual-threat was used much. But this guy could run. In fact, I think he had a 69-yard touchdown run in the game. He could throw. But he went on to fame in another sport. He was a longtime Major League Baseball player, mainly for the Seattle Mariners, but for other teams as well. Tremendous two-sport athlete at Mizzou. He played college baseball and college football. Had a great game that day at quarterback. My question is, who was the quarterback for Missouri in 1978 when Alabama beat the Tigers 38-20? And this guy went on to a long Major League Baseball career with the Mariners and several other teams, but mainly Seattle, but also played for the Phillies, the Orioles, and the White Sox. Who was the quarterback for Missouri in 1978 that went on to a long Major League Baseball career? 205-342-9904 is the number to qualify you, and we are going to give away that Greg Gamble print of Trent Richardson in the Sugar Bowl against LSU, signed by Trent, right next to him busting that long touchdown run that kind of sealed the deal for Alabama in that game. All right, let me bring in my pal Brett Pritchard with the Auburn Blitz. Good morning, Brett. How are you?
I'm good. Gary, how are you, buddy?
Doing great. Auburn gets its bye week, so you know that they're going to be energized. The oldest South-oldest rivalry, the Deep South-oldest rivalry, renewed tomorrow at Jordan-Hare Stadium with Georgia coming in for a p.m. kick, 6:30 kick. Georgia's a 3.5-point favorite. Kirby, well, he's had a lot of people's number, so, you know, kind of feels weird though. He's had Auburn's number. He's had a lot of people's number. He's done really well at Georgia. But I sense, and you're there, feet on the ground, you cover this team daily, that the tough losses on the road have kind of been put in the rearview mirror, and that Auburn is fired up and ready to go against Georgia tomorrow night. How do you see this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, you have to put it in the rearview mirror, Gary, in this conference. And, you know, whether you win or lose, you can't. Yeah, what's in the past is in the past. You can't control it. And, you know, and Auburn needs this more than ever. I know we seem like we say this all the time, but there really is kind of what we talked about on the podcast this morning. Is this a turning point for this program under Hugh Freeze for multiple different reasons? Could it be the turning point everybody's been waiting on? You get a big, huge win, kind of right the ship this year and kind of get things going back in the right direction? Or is it more of the same, and is it a turning point where you go, okay, this just isn't working, and it doesn't matter, week after week after week it seems to be the same result? And you look at the whole picture under Hugh Freeze. There's not been any blowouts, Gary. Auburn's been in all these football games, and they just cannot make plays when they need to, or they just are inept offensively. You know, the constant has been defense, and I can throw some numbers out here in just a minute that we talked about this morning. The DJ Durkin's had, you know, just this year, and it kind of goes back to last year as well. But, you know, really, we are at a turning point when you look at this program. You got a night game in Jordan-Hare against one of your rivals. This is not a Georgia team that I think people view as a Georgia team we've seen over the last 4 to 5 years. It's still very talented, no doubt. But this is not a team you look at and go, man, this team's unbeatable. This is a team that definitely got some issues themselves, but they've been able to win some games because they've been able to, you know, out-coach some teams. And that's what Kirby has done a really good job with his staff at doing, is winning close games. And, you know, I know they lost to Alabama, but, again, it was another close game. You know, you're always going to be in a fight with them. And they find a way to make the plays a lot of times when other teams can't. So can Auburn finally get over the hump? Can Auburn make a play at home to kind of right this ship? That's going to be the question.
Yeah, it is. And you look at that defense that you pointed out has been really good for Auburn. And, you know, with better offensive play, would probably be undefeated. To get that offense going, they've had the bye. I know Hugh Freeze said, we're going to get it going. Jackson Arnold showed so much promise early in the year, but then seemed to lose his confidence a little bit against Oklahoma and A&M. Got, you know, knocked around a lot. The passing game has not been what Auburn had hoped it would be. This bye week, though, what do you think it will take to get this offense clicking for the rest of the season?
First of all, don't make mistakes on first down. You know, actually have a positive play on first down and set yourself up in a situation where you can move the chains and get drives going. And I heard a stat this morning, a friend of mine passed it along, said six out of 10 SEC matchups in the last year and a half for Auburn on the first drive, they've gone 3 and out. 6 out of 10. And so when you look at it from a standpoint, the first drive should be one of the drives that you do the best on, because most of the time it's a scripted drive. And you have things kind of prepared and you know kind of what you want to do. But when you get penalized, you false start or you hold or you're first and 15, first and 20, well, all that goes out the window. So what that tells me is either one, the execution's been horrible, or number two, the play calling hadn't been there either. So when you look at a stat like that, it kind of lends itself to why Auburn's been so inept on offense, and it's kind of been a chronic problem. On the flip side, you know, we'll talk about the defense in a minute, but Jackson Arnold's got to be able to make some plays. And, you know, when you look at Gunnar Stockton's numbers and you look at Jackson Arnold's numbers, there's like 200 yards difference in them in passing. That's it. Mm-hmm. I think Gunnar Stockton has attempted like 132 passes, and I think Jackson Arnold's attempted 134. I mean, there's not much difference. Jackson Arnold's got 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Gunnar Stockton's got 6 and a pick. I mean, when you look at it from the standpoint of, man, you know, there's not much difference, and I don't think anybody really looks at Gunnar Stockton as some dynamic, you know, quarterback, but he, again, does enough to get it done. But the difference is that Georgia doesn't make the mistakes Auburn's been making, and they've got a running game that they can lean on heavily. And for whatever reason, Auburn has not leaned on its running game outside of the Baylor game. It's really kind of head-scratching, Gary. I don't have an answer for it, but those are all the things to me that kind of get put into the pot of why Auburn's not been successful offensively. All of those things kind of go together to make the product that we've seen.
Yeah, that was a good summation of where you're at. Now, as you said, and we both talked about it, it's where you're going. And what are the keys? Obviously, you're going to play good defense. I think we've established that Auburn's a good defensive team. There's potential there offensively. You've got playmakers as a wide receiver. What's the key against a good team to have it all kind of come together tomorrow night against Georgia?
You know, it's just execution, Gary. And you know, you look at an Oklahoma game where I thought the coaches dialed some plays up that were there, and the players didn't make plays, whether it was Jackson Arnold overthrowing Cam Coleman on a for sure touchdown, or, you know, there you can go back and look at all types of different things, and then there's been times the coaches haven't dialed it up real well either. So I think everybody being on the same page, and again, starting off on the road in two very tough places to play, didn't help your cause very much. But now you're at home and your back's against the wall, and you don't want to go to 0-3 in this league. I mean, it just really, really kind of sets a tone that you feel like you're in a hole that you can't dig yourself out of. Although you feel like the schedule does get easier, it's still a tough hole. You got to win three in a row just to get back to 500, and so it just feels like it's insurmountable at that point. On the flip side, you get a win, you stop an 8-game win streak in this series for Georgia. You get your first SEC win. You're 4-2 in the league. Now everything looks totally different. And it just boils down to, and I said this week on the podcast, everything will be there for tomorrow night for Auburn to be successful. The crowd will show up. The environment will be great. The weather's going to be great. They're retiring Cam Newton's jersey. I don't know that you can get a better environment. You'll think that Auburn's ranked number 3 in the country and undefeated. You would think when you see that environment, everybody shows it. The fans continue to show up and support this program. The product on the field at some point in time has got to equal the rest of everything around it. And so it's basically up to getting on the field, not worrying about who the opponent is, and executing the plays and the things that you do every day in practice, and figuring out a way to come up with a play to win the game rather than the other team coming up with a play to win the game.
We're visiting for a couple more minutes with Brett Pritchard from the Auburn Blitz for the Auburn Report, previewing Auburn and Georgia. All right, you've kind of summed it up really well. This is a great rivalry. It's going to be a heck of a football game tomorrow night. You've made some positive points and negative points for Auburn. They need this one badly, as you said, with what's on the line for the season, also to try to snap this losing streak against Georgia. I know you look at it from both a metrics point standpoint and an objective standpoint, and you look at it from, you know, an emotional standpoint too. How do you think this one plays out tomorrow night?
You know, I think just to kind of jump ahead, I'll give you my prediction. I think Auburn, I'll stay with Auburn again. I keep getting punched in the gut every week, Gary, with these close losses. But, you know, I felt like at some point in time it could turn, and maybe playing inside Jordan Hare could help Auburn do that. I said it'll be a lower scoring game, 24-20. Auburn, I think Auburn has to ride its running game. I know Coach Freeze talked about that before the A&M game, and he didn't do it. And then he comes back in the off week. He said, look, I understand. Regardless of what we're doing early, we've got to run the football, and we've just got to stick with it. If they can do that, regardless if you're having any success early, you're making Georgia have to honor that running game. And that could help Jackson Arnold as the game progresses. I mean, I don't think you can win a game in a first quarter, but you can lose one for sure. And I think a lot of times we've seen Auburn kind of get out of sorts with their game plan. And I'm hoping that with a couple of weeks now, Auburn has been able to sit down and look at the things that they haven't done well and the things they could have done better in these games that they've lost, and say, okay, look, we got to be more patient. We got to stick with what we got. We know we got to just keep our confidence in this. I think they got to ride the running game. If they do that, Gary, I think it's going to open up some opportunities for Jackson Arnold to hit some of these receivers down the field at strategic times in the game. Again, it's a not line up, just throw it deep every play, because you got Cam Coleman and Malcolm Simmons and Eric Singleton. You got to be calculated in when you can take your shot. So that's what Georgia does. Georgia runs the football. They're run heavy first, play action pass. They get you sucked in, and then they hit you over the top. They're very strategic. I think Auburn's got to play a game plan similar to what Georgia does every week. And if they do that and they stay within themselves and they can eliminate the state, I think they can have enough to get a win tomorrow night.
All right, Brett, before we close it out, you mentioned Cam and the ceremony honoring him, his jersey being retired, and certainly when you look at the Southeastern Conference and all the great players that have come through and, you know, generational talents, he's one of them. I mean, and you can make an argument that for a guy who played only one season at a school, of course, he started at Florida, went to junior college, but the 1 year that he had at Auburn was the most, impactful in the history of Auburn football. I mean, you can make that case. I mean, in one season, he won the Heisman Trophy. He led Auburn to its first national championship since 1957, back in 2010. I mean, this is a incredible talent and a guy who impacted Auburn. And when you start retiring jerseys, you can't do it for everybody, but certainly he's on the list. And this is going to be a big weekend for Cam Newton.
Yeah, I mean, there's three jerseys that'll be retired now at Auburn. The other two have already been done. There's three statues out in front. And, you know, it was just inevitable that was going to happen. And it should have happened. I mean, I know it's different. And Pat Sullivan and Bo Jackson played versus when Cam Newton played. Lord knows, Gary, we're in a totally different world now than we could ever envision when it comes to college football. But, you know, that's what happens. You can retire somebody's jersey, and you can win a Heisman after playing 1 year at a school and move on, and you can be one of the greatest players in school history, and they've only played 1 year at that particular college. And that's what Cam Newton did. And, you know, you go back and look at that season and what he was able to fight through with all the controversy. And, you know, that to me makes it even more amazing what he pulled off that year. So, yeah, it'll be a big ceremony inside Jordan here tomorrow night, retiring Cam Newton.
Yeah, he was something else. I mean, I sat there when for the 27 minutes or so of the first half at the Iron Bowl that year, I mean, Alabama absolutely dominated. And then Cam Newton, not that other people didn't help, but Cam Newton just willed that team to come back and win that game 28-27.
I tell people all the time, Gary, and Alabama had some unbelievable teams under Nick Saban, but to me that 2010 team may have been the best team. And I know
maybe the most talented. Yeah, maybe the most talented.
I just look at that defense, and again, talk about a comeback, you know, against that defense. I think everybody that started on that defense went to the NFL. I mean, it's just littered with NFL talent. And I'm not just talking about guys to get drafted, like top-tier talent. So to get out to a head start like Alabama did, and for Auburn to come back against that particular defense and win a game, is that adds to the lore of that game.
Well, it was a comeback for the ages, and he's the only quarterback in the country that could have orchestrated a comeback.
I agree.
He's the only one that could have done it. So, hey, great stuff as always, Brett. I know you got the Auburn Blitz coming up at noon.
Yep, we are in the studio today, so appreciate everybody that tunes us in. Again, we'll be previewing Georgia and getting it set for a huge one tomorrow night.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it.
All right, 10:51. We are going to come back. We're wrapping up our trivia contest, and we're going to have the winner with our electronic roulette wheel spin, and also my SEC point spread predictions coming up. So we got one more segment to go at Innisfree Irish Pub Fridays at the Free. Then they open the doors at 11 a.m. We'll be right back.
With Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of The Game, we'll do SEC Parlay Picks presented by Brian Harden Construction. We'll also catch up with Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. We'll talk to Brent Beard as we are now closer to the Alabama-Missouri game. We'll take your analysis right here starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
Free information. Call 800-319-3687. 800-319-3687. 800-319-3687.
Where the season never ends. This is your home of Alabama.
100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. We're winding it down. Wow, it's already 10:56, so we don't have a lot of time to fool around. Let me give you my SEC point spread predictions. I think last week I went 2-3. Only do the SEC games. Alabama 2.5 at Missouri. I'm going with the Tide. Ole Miss 31 at home against Washington State scares me a little bit. Could Ole Miss have a little bit of a letdown? Not with this offense, not with Lane Kiffin. I think Ole Miss covers the 31 against Washington State. Oklahoma and Texas, I call it a toss-up game. It looks like Mateer may play. Regardless, I think Oklahoma's better than Texas this year. I'll take Oklahoma, lay the 1.5. I know the Bobby Petrino effect and all that, but he's been in charge of the offense anyway. Tennessee wants one against Arkansas. I think they lost 4 in a row against the Hogs. Payback, I take Tennessee minus 11.5 at Neyland. And boy, Florida has just tormented me. I pick them. They don't cover. I pick against them. They cover. A&M, I think, has got a great defense. So does Florida. 7.5, I think that's a big half point. That half point's burned me. So I'm going to take Florida plus a 7.5. I think they keep it to within a touchdown. I'm going to go ahead and take Georgia. I'll probably regret this one because I'm starting to feel Auburn, but I'm going to take Georgia minus a 3.5, just Kirby's track record there against the Tigers. And then I'm going to take South Carolina plus a 9.5 at LSU. I just think LSU's got some issues. I think they might win the game. I don't think they're going to cover it. So those are my point spread predictions. Okay, our trivia question, who was the quarterback for Missouri in 1978 when Alabama beat the Tigers 38-20 in Como, and we're down 20-17 at half, that went on to a great Major League Baseball career? The answer, Phil Bradley. Phil Bradley went on to a nice Major League Baseball career and was a terrific dual-threat quarterback in college. How many qualifiers do we have, Reed and Chase?
We got 22.
22 qualifiers. That means we got 22 numbers on the roulette wheel. Go ahead and spin it.
David.
What's the number, guys?
Number 14, David.
All right. Will you make sure you text me his full name and phone number so I can get in touch with him, guys? David is our winner. And I'll be in touch with you. They'll get me your information, and we'll talk to you about picking up this beautiful Trent Richardson print. All right, we're out of time here. Friday's at the Free. They're opening the doors in 2 minutes. I want to thank Tommy from Romulus, Ragged Glory, and Robbie Glenn for all stopping by. I was going to go to the Y and work out, but, I mean, these guys are going to talk me into eating lunch, man, messing up my workout plan. So, but anyway, we're going to have some lunch here. Come by and join us at Innisfree Irish Pub. They'll be open all weekend long. Of course, great place to watch the game tomorrow morning, too. They'll be open and have the game ready to go at 11 a.m. tomorrow. TVs everywhere at Innisfree. Great place to watch the game. Keep that in mind. Also, gave away a couple of dinner for two tickets to Texas Roadhouse, and that's always a great, great opportunity there as well. So we've had a good time. We got the Miller's Edge coming up next. Catch me on TV tonight with the local sports and for Football Friday at 10:30 on WVUA 23. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll talk to you again on Monday. Roll Tide.